I'd like to start today by just reading to you, actually rereading to you the first reading. Because this is the kind of reading that, let me just give you a little background. Periodically, I'll be celebrating Mass or teaching or something, and I'll hear a reading from the Scriptures. And the reading from the Scriptures is bizarre. Just bizarre. And so, and I sit there having listened to it, sometimes bizarre negatively, like sometimes some of the stuff that's a little, it's just crazy from the Old Testament about sacrifices and about conquering peoples and stuff like that. And, or it could be bizarre as unbelievable. And so the question immediately that I, while I'm listening to this, and I'm going, and I'm thinking, did y'all hear that? And then at the end of the Bible reading, it said, people say, the word of the Lord. And I go, Did you hear that? You know, it could be anything from, like sometimes in the Old Testament, you know, they're fighting, different people are fighting each other. And, you know, it gets pretty graphic. The word of the Lord. I'm going, okay. And sometimes I think we in the church have over time become anesthetized. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's the Old Testament. Nobody understands that stuff. Or we just kind of, you know, have heard it for so many times that you just got to go to church and you let it kind of just go right over you. And I think that that's wrong. You know, do you know the meaning of the word Israel? The name given to Israel means the one who struggled with God, the one who wrestled with God. And the reason I bring that up is, do you not ever think that you ought to wrestle with God? That you ought to think things through. And when they don't make sense, ought you not to struggle with it? Ought you not to listen to something and say, what are you talking about? Now you see, when you do that, I think that, you know, some of you may be saying, why is he talking about wrestling with God? Because I think God inspires you to wrestle with him. I think God wants you to wrestle with him. And Jesus did it himself. If you remember, let me give you an example from the New Testament. One day Jesus is standing in front of a man who has what is the scriptures called a withered hand. It's probably a hand that was paralyzed and sort of remained closed because it couldn't be opened. And the man goes up to Jesus and he says, please heal me. Now Jesus is standing there in front of several scribes and Pharisees. Now the scribes and the Pharisees immediately respond and they say, it is the Sabbath. There are 6 other days in which you could be healed. Come and ask to be healed then, not on the Sabbath. Now, immediately, all they're stating is the tradition that had been the rabbinical tradition, because the rabbis wanted to be obedient. They wanted to be obedient to the fact that the Lord said that no work should be done on the Sabbath because it's a day of rest. And so if you want to be obedient, then you got to begin saying, well, wait a minute. Okay, we know we don't go to work, but let's see, is cooking work? Well, if cooking is work, then I guess you better not cook because you're not supposed to work. Now, if you walk, are you making your body work? Well, I guess. So you gotta limit your walking because it's disobeying the commandment. And it got to the point, a bit ridiculous, I think, that if an egg was laid by a chicken on the Sabbath, it could be considered unclean because the chicken labored on the Sabbath. Now, all of this in the name of being obedient. But now, Jesus, and that's the thinking of the scribes and Pharisees, do not heal on the Sabbath because healing is work. Do not heal. Now, Jesus is faced with this scribes and Pharisees, and he's got this man standing in front of him. Now, I always imagine Jesus, he didn't do this, but he might, look, he could have gotten out of it really easy. He could have just took the man aside and say, hey, come here. Let's go around the back of the house. Let's not do it in front of him. I don't want to get them all upset. I don't want to get them all, out of sorts. So let's do it in the back of the house. And that way they won't be angry. Now, what does Jesus do? He goes up to the man and he says, come here. And he says, so, it's not permissible to heal on the Sabbath. And he goes ahead and heals the man smack dab and intentionally in front of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, why am I giving you that example? Because Jesus himself knew that some of the interpretation that was being given to a dictate of the law was ridiculous. And he did not accept ridiculous interpretations of the law. And so he directly countered what was being done and interpreted by the Pharisees. That is wrestling. Jesus himself had to wrestle with, no, I'm not going to obey that. That makes no sense. No sense. Or when the apostles were walking and on the Sabbath, and they were picking off heads of grain and eating them, and the scribes and Pharisees said, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, have you not heard what David and his men did when they were hungry? They broke into the temple and ate the sacred bread, which was reserved only for the priests. And then Jesus says, the ultimate wrestling with God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, why am I giving you these examples? Because Jesus himself, as a Jew of his time, he had to wrestle with the interpretations that were being given to some of the texts of the Torah of his own time. When something didn't make sense or something just didn't compute well, you can't just let it go. You can't let it go. You know, Jesus is very, let me put it this way. In the apocalypse, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus in heaven says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Notice, the only thing Jesus couldn't stand is laziness. Intellectual and spiritual laziness. Well, whatever. Whatever. And no, you can't do it that way. If you look at the New Testament, the only thing he cannot handle is fruitlessness. Be either hot or cold. You better produce some fruit. You better do something. You better do something with what you've been given. Now, that's all a preamble. You thought that was the homily? No, I'm sorry. That's the preface. Okay? Now, listen to this first reading. This first reading, when you listen to it, it just sort of go, huh? And it's not bad, but it doesn't make sense at first. Listen to this. From the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he has fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth. For justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature. He made him, but by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. Is that true? Is that true? Because it flies according against my primary experience. Especially that last sentence. Listen to that last sentence. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. And they who belong to his company experience it. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody I've ever known has died. There's nobody who's never died. And so the question I have is, are we then, by that definition, to be said to be of the company of the devil? Because we're all going to die. And only those who are in his company experience it. Now, at first I said to you, that should fly right in your face. Because it doesn't seem to make sense. But struggling with the text, looking it up, saying, wait a minute, this has got to make better sense than it does. It's something that all of us should do. Now, I do it every week specifically because I got to face you. I have to face you and make some sense of what the scriptures are saying. And what the scriptures are saying today makes beautiful sense. And let me take this and struggle with that final text. Because the final text has a really interesting message to give to us. Death came into the world, and it came in through the devil. And those who are of his company experience it. What's it talking about? I found the key to understanding this in a small aspect of theology of the Blessed Mother. Of the Blessed Mother. Now follow this explanation. Mary, there are two main feasts that we celebrate of Mary. The celebration of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and the celebration of the Feast of the Assumption. That Mary was conceived without sin and that her body was resurrected and taken up with the body of Jesus. Those are the two big feasts, Marian feasts. But pay attention to that first one. That Mary was born without original sin. Now, why did death enter the world? It entered the world because all of us are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Now, please remember, we're not talking about a literal Adam and Eve. It's a story. It's a story to bring a point. We don't know historically what happened. But just take the story as a meaning. Okay? It's kind of like if you take the story of the little boy who cried wolf. The little boy who cried wolf has a meaning, even though we don't know historically if there was a little boy who cried wolf. That's not the important thing. The important thing is the meaning that is transferring. In the story of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve are perfectly fine in paradise. And God, in this story, only says to them, there is one tree that you may not touch. You may not eat of it, lest you die. The penalty is written there. The serpent, the character in the story, comes along and says, you know what? God's afraid of you. Because if you eat of that tree, you don't have to obey him. You don't have to obey him. You can become like God. You can say, hey, God, that's nice that you have that opinion, but we're going to do it our way. And that's when Adam and Eve take the fruit, they believe the lie, and then they eat of it. Immediately, they realize they're naked. Now that's a symptom. They're realizing that they're naked is the symptom of a total alienation from themselves. You know, to me, that's always a fascinating point. Because God is pictured walking in the garden. And he says, Adam, Eve, where are you? And Adam answers, we heard you walking in the garden, but we were naked, and so we hid. And the next sentence is one of my favorites. God says, who told you you were naked? To me, that is one of the most fascinating questions in the whole New Old Testament. You know why? When you're in the shower, do you take a shower with your clothes on? Well, of course not. Do you know you're naked? Yeah. So why did God say, who told you you were naked? Wouldn't they have figured that out by themselves? You know why? Because the concept of nakedness didn't exist. The very concept of naked had no existence. We, human beings, are the only beings who are worried about naked. You ever gone up to your dog and said, you're naked? Well, I don't think so. Is any other animal in the face of the earth have a concept of nakedness? No. Us. And it's a symptom. It's a symptom of self-alienation, of being alienated from our connection with God. And once we separate ourselves from the connection with God, we don't know who we are. We don't know what the universe is for. We don't know the purpose of our lives. We don't know where the heck we're going. We don't know anything. Nothing that the devil promised was true. That's why they call him the father of lies. The father of lies. Nothing was true. And so now, all of us are born with this disconnect. We are born disconnected from God. Do you know who the only person besides Jesus who was born without being disconnected from God was? The Blessed Mother. Mary, because of the Immaculate Conception God gave to her by exception, what you and I get through baptism. Mary was conceived in the womb of her mother without original sin. And you know how we know that? We know that because of what the angel said to her. The angel, when the angel appears to her to tell her she's pregnant, the angel says, "Hail Mary, full of grace." You can't be full of grace if you are an inheritor of original sin. The fathers of the church said that's the basis of the Immaculate Conception, because you can't be full of grace without that. And so Mary is born without being alienated from God. Because that original sin is nothing you did. Original sin is a condition that says that all of us, as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, all of us are alienated from God. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we're for. Mary is the only person born without that alienation. She was born with the connection to God intact. Now, what does this have to do with death? A lot. Because you see, what the Book of Wisdom is saying is that it doesn't say that we were meant to stay on this earth forever. It does say that death, as we experience it, was not created by God. You see, all of us walk around, and most of us, I would say most all of us, at one point or another, we don't want to die. Most of us are afraid of death. And that's normal for us, because it's normal under this disconnected way that we are between us and God. But what about a human being who never was disconnected? Would that human being experience death differently? And the answer is yes. Because God never meant for death to be experienced the way we experienced it. He never meant death to make us afraid, to make us torn apart. And the reason why we are is because all of us sinned in Adam and Eve. We are of the company of evil until we are rescued. That's why we walk around afraid. Afraid because we live disconnected from God. And when you're disconnected from your Creator, you live afraid of being disconnected from your body because you have no other existence. You're afraid of dying. The tradition of the Catholic Church does something very interesting. I used to not pay attention to it, but I'm paying a lot more attention to it. Have you ever heard anyone talk about the Blessed Mother dying? The death of the Blessed Mother? Nobody ever talks about it. And even when we do talk about it, the tradition of the church does not use the term the death of Mary. You know what they use? The tradition of the church uses the word the dormition of Mary. Now, dormir, if you know a little Spanish, dormir is to sleep. And so in Latin, the dormition of Mary means the sleep of Mary. Why? Because the quality of Mary's death, because of her connection with God, was a quality that made her death peaceful and unafraid, the way our death was supposed to be, and not the way we experience death today. Her connection with God made her death like going to sleep. And we live in fear of our death. And why? Because we're disconnected. She was not. I'll finish with this. It is my firm belief that the more you're connected or reconnected with God, the less afraid you will be of death. The more peaceful you will be. Because the more you will realize that what's happening is that you're handing yourself into God's hands. And since you're not disconnected from Him, you're not afraid because you trust Him. That's the key. That's the key. And that's the key to where it says God did not make death. It's correct. He didn't make death the way we experience death. And so what's the point of here? One of the side benefits of reconnecting with God at a deep level is living a more peaceful life because your fear of dying is tremendously reduced. Because you trust your Father and you know that death is a transformation into a different sort of life, much closer to Him and much closer to the people you love. And you're never afraid of that. Just think about it. It made sense to me after struggling with the text.